Here, there are beaches as wide open as your plans and waterfront towns more charming than you could ever imagine. Ready for the perfect spring getaway? Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 18th day of May 2026. And tonight back there, those in the phone booth of Pastor's Mighty Men. We have Eric there and Carl Klein here doing more work than she possibly can. We have right here in the studio, Marm Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And in the glass booth where we keep him. Tonight, our producer and co-host is Josh Booth. Hey, Josh.
The other booth.
The other booth, right.
Of many.
All right. And then way out yonder in Missouri, he's known as the legendary pastor. And, well, what can I say? The Parson Joe Larson.
Well, infamous might be a good term, but anyway, I'm here with you, ready to help out this week during Pledge Week. Glad to be here.
This is Pledge Week. It is Pledge Week. And so, in fact, we have already, Lisa has pledged $150. Wendy has pledged $600. Wendy will be with us tomorrow night. Wendy Wilson is going to be with us tomorrow night instead of Wednesday as normal. And then right here, and from Ohio, we have Claudia has pledged 100. So we got to get going with that.
And I was on your website about 20, 30 minutes ago and made a donation of $200 there. Very easily done. Didn't take long at all.
All right. Put Joe down for 200, Josh. All right. There you go. All right, we're off, and this is Pledge Week. The phone number to call in tonight is 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. We, you know, last month, we got hit hard. We missed one day, the 20%, and so we've been trying ever since to make up with it, and so we have... The 20th, which is, I believe, Wednesday, is our deadline. We got to get that money in. So, folks out there, if you're going to pledge tonight, especially those on PayPal, we would certainly appreciate it. It's tough keeping up out there today. We're living in a very, very tough time economically. One of the reasons, Joe, do you remember when we first started in radio way back 51 years ago? I could count on my hand the amount of conservative talk shows, and I might even have a finger or two left over, okay? Today, everybody's got a blog. Everybody's out there. Everybody's in the business, okay? And just exactly, and we're going to talk about that tonight as we go through Scripture, because that was prophesied. That was prophesied. And yet, in fact, it was prophesied just short of 800 years ago, but the vast majority of people in this country have no clue to that. So, again, And since I'm going to start out right out of the chute, we really need a good night tonight, big time. Josh, put me down
you
for
1,000. You have a credit 1, card line.
Put me down for 1,000. No, we only have one line. And that one line, now they've changed up on us. We got that whole new phone system in. And hopefully, if the phones will work. I mean, it's a new system. It's really nice when the phones work. And so, that number is 216.
Yeah, we know out here in the country with cell phones not working here at the ranch, unless I'm right near the satellite, Starlink, there is no phone reception for many, many miles.
Well, that's not our problem. Our problem is the devil is in the details. We've always been targeted from day one on the air. This ministry has been targeted. And you know that. You've been with us for a long time. And so
right.
That number is to call 216-901-0933. I think there's about a half a dozen lines or more open on that right now. 216-901-0933. And you can put me in there for 1,000, Josh. So anyhow, we're going to get started right into our message tonight.
Message.
The title of the message. Do you remember what the title of the message was?
The day shall not come unless there come a falling away first.
Okay, there's something that has happened in this country that's never happened in my lifetime, Joe. One of the things we're going to get into that is that there's been a tremendous decline here just in the last couple of decades. But really, really speeding up. In the last 4 or 5 years, it's really sped up. And that decline is church attendance. Church attendance has fallen way, way off. And the fact you had here, Southern Baptists have been losing about 500,000 a year since 2020. If you go back to the Lutherans, they went from 8,000 down to, or 8 million, down to 8 million, down to 3 million. Between the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, and such, over 6,000 Protestant churches are closing per year in this country. Well, there'll be some opening too, but so you see this, what's taking place. And of course, you may have noticed the Roman Catholic Church running all kinds of ads on television, all kinds trying to recruit people because their population, their attendance has fallen way, way, way down. So that's happening where you see this, and we'll talk about it falling away. But at the same
time, we saw it first over in Europe where we've been, for the past, 20, 30 years, we've been telling how it's fallen off, that there was less than this was several years ago, less than 3% of all Europe was fundamental Christian, and that was years ago. I imagine it's down 1% or less now.
Well, then there's something else happening simultaneously, and that is there's a movement in this country, a revival movement amongst being led by young men that are being converted to Christ in large numbers, and where the young men are going farther to the right, the young women are going to the left, okay? And there's a good reason for that, and we'll talk about that as we go through here. But let's start here tonight in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's take a couple verses at a time. So,
all right.
Go ahead, read verse 1.
1 and 2?
Now, just, go ahead.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him.
So now,
that ye be not soon shaken. Oh, just you said two at a time.
Well, yeah, I was going to hear what he's referring to.
Okay, I'll stop.
He's referring back to what he was saying about the gathering together to him, because he had previously been reporting on the rapture of the church. He was talking about the rapture. But go ahead and read 2 through 5.
that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Okay, so hear now, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's referring here to the day of Christ, that day of Christ is at hand. Now, there's a difference between the day of Christ. People confuse the day of Christ with the day of the Lord. They're not the same.
Right.
The day of Christ always...
The day of Christ is salvation, and the day of the Lord is judgment.
Right. And so here now...
You get salvation first.
All right. Now, here he's referring to what has taken place. There were those at that time, apparently, because of the severe persecution, there were Christians that were disappearing, and there were those that were pretending to be the apostles and writing letters saying that the rapture had already taken place. And the people were very, very concerned about being left behind. And here the Apostle Paul is telling them, no, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except for there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, Joe, that word falling away has got, you have parallel meanings. It has the word apostasia, apo, means to be away from, apo means to be away from, and stasis, apostasis, means to be standing away, In other words, so he's talking about, in both cases, standing away. Now, here, in the case of the rapture of the church, is referring to the saints are standing away from the earth. And when they get caught up, they're standing away from the earth. But at the same time, Paul is referring to the great apostasy, which is falling away, standing away from the faith. And that's exactly
right.
What we're seeing today more than it's ever been. I wanted to stop here for a second and give that number out. That number is 216-901-0933. Again, that number is 216-901-0933. This is Pledge Week. We really need to hear from you folks tonight. We really do. It's really critical. And I have a deadline. If you folks, especially if you go to PayPal, we will appreciate whatever you can do to help us out. Like I said, we lost twice now during our pledge week. We have less than 10 hours in that 1 week to raise, to get enough money for the entire month. And here we got twice now. We got cut out one day of each week because the phones collapsed on us. And like I said, these things only happen to us. The devil's in the details. So that number is 216-901-0933. And that's just a call-in line. We don't have a special credit card line here tonight. We just have the one number. But we have enough people on the phones. So give us a call at 216-901-0933. So we're living, Joe, at the time of the great apostasy. And it refers to when it says that the son of perdition. Now, some of us know, we will know who the Antichrist is because God has given us that spirit. It'll be And of course, you know, it's talking about when he talks about the son of perdition, Judas was referred to as the son of perdition, but it simply means the spirit of the Antichrist.
That's right.
And so here now, showing himself that he is God, that takes place after the rapture of the church. Once the church is taken up, then he sets himself up. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now, again, here what is taking place, there are false teachers out there. There are preterists, Joe. And preterists are teaching that the tribulation period already took place. It took place back in the 70 AD when Titus just killed the Christians and the Jews. And when he came in and offered up the sow in the temple. And so, but that is as far as you can get from the truth. Joe, why is it? How many prophecies would have gone unfulfilled had the tribulation taken place in 70 A.D.?
A great many. I'm afraid I can't tell you the number offhand, but quite a few.
Well, let me just ask you this. After the tribulation, we've gone into the millennial kingdom, and Christ would be sitting on his throne in Jerusalem, ruling there today, and we would have glorified bodies ruling with him. I can tell you, this body of mine is far from being glorified.
You and me both. If all these artificial body parts and titanium steel and whatnot count.
So do you remember during that tribulation period when the pit opened up and those creatures came out and they had the head of a teeth like a lion and a head of a tail of a scorpion, and they were stinging men, and men couldn't die. They wanted to die. Do you remember when that took place?
It hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, but that happens during the tribulation period.
I'm not going to be here for that, I guarantee you.
Alrighty,
I've got my passport, one-way ticket, and I'm ready to go whenever he calls.
But there are those out there that are preaching that, and they're also preaching another false doctrine, and that is universal salvation, that everybody gets saved. This is one of the growing apostate teachings of today, and that everybody...
Well, I remember years ago when we talked about the survey that showed there were more people believed in heaven than believed in God, and I just couldn't get that one straight in my mind. How can you believe in heaven and not believe in the God who created the heaven and the earth? But, hey, things are going crazy, aren't they?
Yeah. Tony in Toronto pledges $225. Thank you, Tony. That number is...
Yeah, he had to beat me.
Yeah.
Instead of matching, he had to beat me. Thank you, Tony.
All right, there you go. And let me see, it's 216-901-0933 is the new number now. Again, it's 216-901-0933. So can I get somebody to match my 1,000? Can I get somebody to match Joe's 200 or Wendy's 600 or Claudia's 100 or Lisa's 200? So, folks, we'll take a match on everything. Maybe we can get somebody to match every one of them. That'd be better yet. Okay. 216-901-0933. Now, Joe, I want to turn over because we're seeing... Here, we're living in the days of the very first application, what we just read. And so, and that's the falling away, the great apostasy, which there, I mean, it's here now. But now I want to turn over to Jude. So let's read in Jude verses 1 through 4.
All right, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, Joyce in New Jersey pledges 40. Thank you, Joyce, folks. 216-901-0933. Now, here, when we start out, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Here, Jude, James and Jude were both half-brothers of the Lord Jesus. Now, you notice something here, what they're talking about. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, here, remember, Jesus literally had to raise himself from the dead before they believed on him. Remember, his own brothers told him, listen, if you're really who you say you are, go in there and prove it. And here, now, everything has changed. They don't even feel that they have the right to refer to themselves as the half-brothers of Jesus. Instead, they're referring to themselves as his servant, huh?
Servants, yes.
And so...
They probably weren't very brotherly toward him, too, because you got to remember, he was without sin. And can you imagine living with a brother in your house that never sinned, that didn't do anything wrong? Boy, not in my world.
Well, first of all, he was the oldest, and you could tell, you know, he was mom's favorite, right? And so, yeah, he had to be.
Very, very good reason for that one.
Yeah. Anyhow, I have a story I could tell you about that, but it's a long one. But it was something that happened with me. But anyhow, he goes on to say, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Okay. And here, you know, again, with the great apostasy, there is so much apostate teaching out there, so much heresy out there today, that people have gone so far away. They've got over 200 perversions of the Bible. You can go out and you can find a perversion of the Bible that'll save just about whatever you want, what you want to believe or you want to preach. And so here, but the idea, Joe, is when it talks about the common salvation. Remember, people are getting saved the same way today, truly saved, as they did from the very beginning. Now,
death, birth, and resurrection of Jesus Christ,
right,
Son of God, right?
Well, what's the first thing you have to do to get saved? Remember what, I'll give you a hint.
Repent.
Right. Noah preached 120 years, repent. John the Baptist came preaching, repent. And the first time Jesus went out preached publicly, what did he say? Repent or perish, right? So.
His first word was repent, right?
So, yeah, with the word of faith movement out there, the word of faith with all these prosperity preachers, they teach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. And so they all teach.
They're trying to make it easy, but I've noticed something in this world. Quite often the easy way is not the best way or the right way. In fact, often it's the wrong way.
Yeah. And so here.
In this case, it's the very, very wrong way, because it will never lead to salvation.
Right. Now, when I was telling you before that there were two things happening simultaneously, the big falling away from people, falling away from the church. Now, this was really, it really sped up after COVID. When COVID came, A lot of people quit going to church because they tried to shut the church down. Here in Ohio, Amy Acton, who was supposed to be the head of the Department of Health, she said, no, you can't, no more than 10 people in churches, no singing in churches. You have to wear masks, so on and so forth. But now, she had no problems with keeping the abortion mills open, the liquor stores open, and the pot stores. She had no problem with that. You couldn't get infected over there, but the churches now, that was different. And she's running for governor of Ohio as a Democrat. And so here, when he's talking about today across the country, there's this revival being led by young men. It's being led by young men again. And as we mentioned earlier, they're having him, I mean, here in Ohio, they've had some big rallies. But here's the thing. It's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of emotion, which is good. You need, in the moving of the Holy Spirit, but it becomes shallow when it comes to foundation. Jesus says over in Matthew 7, to build your house upon the rock, the foundation. Now, that's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, where there's a failure is that, Joe, people have gotten away from where we're told to hold fast to the traditions of the apostles. And those out there today are teaching things like you have to get rid of the old hymnals. You have to have change. In order to have growth, you got to have change. You've got to go away from the old ways to the new, which is exactly the opposite of what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. We'll be back right after this.
News coming out of Truth Social. This coming from President Trump. He shared this late last night, saying that U.S. and Nigerian forces carried out an operation that killed a global ISIS leader. President Trump identified the terrorist as Abu Bilal al-Manuki, whom he described as ISIS's second in command globally. He says, tonight at my direction, brave American forces and the armed forces of Nigeria flawlessly executed a meticulously planned and very complex mission to eliminate the most active terrorist in the world from the battlefield. Abu Bilal al-Manuki, second in command of ISIS globally, thought he could hide in Africa, but little did he know we had sources who kept us informed on what he was doing. He will no longer terrorize the people of Africa or help plan operations to target Americans. President Trump also thanked the Nigerian government for its cooperation in the mission, saying, with his removal, ISIS's global operation is greatly diminished. Now, I also wanted to bring this to you. This is a post from Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, as he posted this morning to X, confirming U.S. forces in coordination with the armed forces of Nigeria killed al-Manuki and other ISIS leaders and provided more details about al-Manuki's role within ISIS. He says this, Abu Bilal al-Manuki was the number two of ISIS globally, responsible for overseeing the planning of attacks, directing hostage taking and managing financial operations. The removal of him and other ISIS personnel makes Americans safer by further degrading ISIS's ability to plan and carry out attacks that threaten the U.S. homeland, American citizens, and innocent civilians. Going on to say, operations like last night's demonstrate the exceptional patience and skill of U.S. forces, amplified alongside willing and capable partners to address shared threats. This should serve as a reminder that we will hunt down those who wish to harm Americans or innocent Christians wherever they are. Now, Hegseth also said U.S. Africa Command carried out the precise operation to remove this terrorist, his words there, at President Trump's direction and in conjunction with Nigeria's president. The secretary reiterated how Trump in November, quote, declared to the world that we will help protect Christians in Nigeria and instructed the Department of War to prepare for action. Going on to say, so for months, we hunted this top ISIS leader in Nigeria who was killing Christians, and we killed him and his entire posse. Now, Fox News Digital has reached out to the White House for comments, still waiting to see if we can get a comment there from the White House. But this announcement comes after U.S. Central Command said it carried out multiple strikes against more than 30 ISIS targets in Syria in February as part of a joint military effort to sustain relentless military pressure on remnants from the terrorist network. CENTCOM said U.S. forces struck ISIS infrastructure and weapons storage targets using fixed-wing, rotary-wing, and unmanned aircraft. Now, President Trump also told reporters on January 27th that he had a great conversation with the Syrian president. He said this, "All of the things having to do with Syria in that area are working out very, very well, so we are very happy about it." CENTCOM announced in February that more than 50 ISIS terrorists had been killed or captured and more than 100 ISIS infrastructure targets struck during 2 months of targeted operations in Syria. The U.S. launched Operation Hawkeye Strike in response to an ISIS ambush that killed 2 U.S. service members and an American interpreter December 13th of 2025 in Syria. So once again, just putting up this post here from President Trump as he shared this to Truth Social very late last night, I believe 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, as he announced that U.S. and Nigerian forces carried out an operation that killed a global ISIS leader.
Praying
All right, we are going to step away for another commercial break here on Live Now from Fox. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We've been praying for the past year here, Joe, because the for those folks, especially in Nigeria and in the Congo, they have been begging President Trump for help. They've been, you know, please come, please help us. And, you know, we had big discussions and there were people that disagreed and said we can't be sending our troops. We can't be policing the entire planet. But this is a situation where here you have fellow Christians that are, you know, again, being murdered. I mean, they were sitting, locking people in churches, setting the entire church on fire. They were going after pastors in large numbers. They were burning homes down, again, with families in their homes, burn them down. ISIS was evil as the days come. And so anyhow, Trump did. He sent the special forces, and I can't think of a better use. I cannot think of a better use for our special forces than to go wherever they can where it comes to the persecution of the Christians and come to their aid.
I agree with you. For years, we talked about Boko Haram and Haram, or however you pronounce it, and they were burning farms and houses and chasing pastors out and killing people. And I mean, the atrocities that were going on against Christians since about 2000 have been horrendous, and most of the world just gave kind of a big yawn. It was not a major topic, didn't make headlines. And I remember you and I talking about, I was just amazed at how people could totally ignore it, disregard what was happening to Christians. It was like, oh, well, somebody killed a dog, you know, so it was just an irrelevant story for years. So I'm so glad Trump's doing something.
Yeah, I am too. And again, like I said, there's a number of things happening. He's going to be bringing a lot of our troops home. For example, they're in U.S. cancels deployment of 4,000 troops to Poland as Trump distances himself from weak allies. And that's good. Instead of us going over there and spending all this money protecting allies that don't care about us, that disrespect.
They don't care about themselves. They're not even willing to help, you know, defend themselves. So why should we care? If they don't care, why should we?
Right. And so what better use would that be to use those troops wherever there's places in this globe where the persecution, and it's many places where it's really bad. But, you know, the nice thing about the way the Special Forces units are, they can rapidly deploy. They can go in, hit hard, and take out the opposition, and then leave in a big hurry. And just the threat of that happening, knowing that, look, you keep killing Christians, and you're going to have to pay with the price, just that threat there, Joe, would really cut down the amount of persecution the church is getting, okay, today. So
Yeah, especially if we do a few more times, they get the message. You're right. It would be a great deterrent.
All righty. Kathy in Ohio pledges 300. Thank you, Kathy. And so that number is 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. Here, other good news is you have we have a clip I think we're going to play. We'll play it next week. But a lot of it's got to do with the fraud. Across this, do you realize that they're coming out? The Department of Fraud now, Vance is the fraud czar. And they have said that there could be as more than $1 trillion worth of fraud that the Democrats have stolen from the American people. This is coming out right now, Medicaid workfare in Minnesota, it comes over $9 billion. But here, and guess what? Tampon Tim's in big trouble, and he should be in big trouble. But here, and along with the mayor there of Minneapolis, and along with the attorney general of Minnesota, but here, Minnesota Tax Committee Chair Rip Aisha Gomez, you ought to see this big wicked woman here. She screams at the GOP representative and tells him, she yells out, she uses the F-bomb, and that's what these vulgar, wicked, old, dirty women use. She uses the F-bomb on him and says, go do your F-bomb, shoot yourself. And she did that, this idiot, during a gun control meltdown. So the GOP leaders are demanding she be stripped of her power. Minnesota House Democrat Alicia Gomez Jr. in Minneapolis, a Democrat in Minneapolis, verbally assaulted Republican Representative Elliot Engine, telling him what I just said. And right in the middle of a heated debate on gun control, multiple members of the Minnesota House Republican Caucus, the Democrats think it's a good thing to use profanity. That profanity is, whatever the Bible calls a sin, the Democrats will embrace. Whatever God calls a sin or an abomination, they will embrace it. And so,
right there in New York, they've got a new trio of journalists. They're doubling as fans of that suspected United Healthcare worker killer, Luigi Mangione.
Yeah,
and they're saying that I'm saying F, the Fox word, Brian Thompson. I don't give the F word that he died, and they're going on talking about how his children are better off without him. They need to learn to not be like their dad. Enjoy the blood money, children. And so we've got a trio there. They were all given press credentials by Mayor Zohan Mandani, his office, and by the New York Supreme Court. So, this is all over the country. Same thing in Los Angeles. And I got another article of same kind of language in Seattle. Rude, crude, and lewd is the new Democrat Party, because they're no longer Democrat Party. They're the Communist Party USA.
Well, here in this article, it shows you what a dingbat this woman is. She's talking about trying to cut gun violence down, to reducing gun violence by telling this Republican Representative Engine to go and shoot himself.
that'll reduce gun violence, right?
Yeah. So that's what a Democrat does.
That's logic. Yeah, it's Democrat logic. It's the same kind of thing I'm seeing all over. I'm looking at some images there of things in Los Angeles that you couldn't show on television. Naked people doing weird things to themselves. There's a whole trove, all kinds of things that the mayor, Karen Bass, doesn't want people to see. And they have a big graphic content warning in the London Daily Mail. And one of the U.S. Reporters, senior reporters, went and just showed pictures of what's going on in Los Angeles. It is sickening. It is unbelievable filth. Like I said, it's kind of hard to describe. Nudity, perversion, the situation with the drug-addled people on the streets. And getting worse, same thing happening in Seattle. So they seem to, like you said, glorify anything, and it's evil, wicked, inhumane. What they're allowing to happen to these people is abuse. It's inhumane. And I can't believe we cannot just force some laws to put a stop to it. It's sickening.
All righty, 216.
What happened in a Nazi camp.
216-901-0933. That number, 216-901-0933. We would really appreciate your help right now. We're in a very tough spot. We've got hit twice with loss of days that we need, and trying to make that up. So 216-901-0933. Here, you know, you were talking about there that mayor there of Karen Bass. Here, this fellow, Spencer Pratt, he is turning them every which way but loose out there. He made this thing upon the internet, and it's got all the Democrats, you know, showing you how they burnt, you know, all the people lost their homes, people lost their lives, and they did it, and it was because of Mayor Bass, because of these people. This is why so many didn't even have insurance. They were warned over and over and over. Even President Trump went over there to California and warned them. Now, here, he goes on. The establishment is absolutely petrified of reality star turned Los Angeles mayoral candidate Spencer Pratt. What he has got up on the internet is so funny. You'd laugh your head off. The thought of someone outside the appointed political class has all the usual suspects panicking, especially big labor. Big labor union in California is corrupt. So you don't even have to say, if you wanted to talk about the unions, you don't even have to mention, just say corrupt, because those big labor unions are just as corrupt as can be, and they deserve to have the bad things happen to them out there, the prices to be so high because of what they've done. But anyhow, the unions throw endless cash toward Democratic communist politicians at every level of government, of corrupt government, every level, to make sure they keep getting a piece of the taxpayer pie. That's right. Again,
called symbiotic relationship, right?
Yeah. The full political footprint of unions, including indirect spending, is around 1.8 to 2.5 billion dollars per cycle, and nearly 98% of it, all of it, 98% benefiting the Democrat communists on every level of government. When the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, the very corrupt AFL-CIO, decided to weigh in on the Los Angeles mayor race, they probably thought their LA unions opposed to Spencer Pratt of Mayor 2026, and he was going to have their desired effect of slamming Pratt for his positions. Instead, this is different, it might have become one of the best pro-Pratt ads to date. Oh, the ad begins, "Republican Spencer Pratt is the last thing Los Angeles needs for a mayor. Pratt opposing uses taxpayers' money to build brand new houses for unhoused neighbors, saying it's time for the homeless to get help or get out." Those idiots, I mean, how dumb is that for a union to run that, right? Pratt thinks L.A. needs thousands more police officers rather than more social workers. And Republican Spencer Pratt thinks public employees unions should have less power and not more. L.A. is on the right track and needs to stay the course. Vote no on Republican Spencer Pratt. You know that the AFL-CIO was corrupt. But, boy, this shows you how stupid they are. I mean, to run an ad like that.
Well, they're more than just corrupt. Remember, we were one of the first groups to talk about the Socialists in Congress. The Democratic Socialists of America website was hosting the Progressive Caucus of the United States House of Representatives. And we were talking about how it was started, Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Ohio Sherrod Brown. These people, when they started this, I took and copied their website the 31st day of August 2001 and said, we're proudly socialist, and went on about how great socialism was. They were going to bring the socialism to America. And then they had a list of all the organizations, progressive coalitions, supporting the socialist agenda. That's a direct quote. I'm reading right from their website. Progressive coalitions supporting the socialist agenda. And one of the first ones was AFL-CIO. So they are socialists to begin with, communists, really, you know, because we know that communism is socialism in a hurry. That was told to us by Lenin himself. So here we have, they're not only crooked and corrupt, but they are communist. And they're leading toward what? Government power. That's why the symbiotic relationship with the Democrat Party is because what? It's all about growing, maintaining power so that nobody can break the cycle of power. So they will always be the ones in control, which is what the end result of communism is, the handful of a few controlling the many, right?
Joe, if the folks listening to us tonight had no other reason to support us but than the fact that we were the first ones out there back when that we announced that. In fact, if you remember who was the chair of that, it was from our former mayor here of Cleveland, Dennis Kucinich, okay? But not only did we announce that, but we sent that list of these communists out to people. They weren't, you know, weren't supposed to know that. At that time, it was up on the internet, but they took it down. Remember, when we sent that out there, we mailed those out, along with, we sent about a million of the 45 current communist goals out to the people there. And we were out there when there wasn't any. There was just a handful of us in conservative talk radio at that time out there amongst the, you know, we had probably less than 5% of the media when all the rest, 95%, were against us. And so
I sent personally copies of this to the media all over the country, to different TV, radio places. Nobody wanted to touch it. One of the people, if you remember the name, Xavier Becerra, he's over from California. Yeah, he's all over the place. He was one of the original ones there. But people forget good old Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Maxine Waters, Corrine Brown. So many of these people that everybody's familiar with today were founding members of this. 58 members of the U.S. House said they were proudly socialists working to grow the Democratic Socialist Party of America, right there in their own words and their own website. And then also, we started off, I think we were the first radio program in America to talk about cultural Marxism, what it was, the long, great march through the culture, and how they were changing hearts and minds through the culture, brainwashing people. Nobody else was talking about that but you and me.
Yeah, we were hot on it, you know, week in and week out. And again, back in those days, there were, you know, you could count conservative talk shows on one hand. Today, everybody's got a blog up there, and So we don't have, I don't know if we've lost audience share or whatever, but we're still holding fast, and as we're giving the information out, the information is still solid, is still truth. We still make sure that what we bring to the people is documented. And so, anyhow, folks,
but
that number.
The difference is these blogs, I have to jump in, these blogs, we are preaching the gospel. That is the big difference that we do that the blogs don't. They stick to just the politics and some of the facts. But the truth is, without the knowledge of the scripture, without the knowledge of Christ, the blogs aren't going to get anywhere, because at the end, really, who is the one who is in control of all heaven and earth, and that everything that happens is in his hands? People realize you can't win without God, without Christ on your side. You're never going to win.
Right, and we do it without all that profanity. And today out there, it seems like there's a race to the top, to use this, that Joe, what's his name? You know, profanity. Pardon?
Joe Rogan, yeah.
Rogan.
Joe Rogan. And they also are using their blogs and things to get wealthy. You and I, especially you, in what, 51 years, you've never taken a dime. In all the years I've been with you, never taken a dime. No one in the ministry has ever taken any money. We do this because the Lord's called us to do this. And besides, like I've always said, pay may be lousy, but the retirement plan is, well, it's out of this world, right?
Absolutely. And one of the major things that we fought for all the way back in the early 70s was the pro-life movement. We were a leader at that time. We were the only pro-life program that I knew of on radio at that time. And we were very, very successful because from that time up until today, this ministry was responsible for saving over 24,000 babies. We had a big, big part in saving over 24,000 babies in that time. So we've done it, and you're right, we didn't do it for the money. In fact, you know, not only did we not get paid to do this, we did it because the cause is a righteous cause, but we actually put our above and beyond our own money into this, and that should count for something. The folks out there listening to us out
there.
Our
own money and an awful lot of time. I remember back when there were 3 hours a night, and I was doing the morning show on the Sunshine Radio Network. That was an hour every morning, and then I'd join you some nights for, I can't remember, it was 2 hours then or 3 hours a night.
It was 4 hours. We had.
That's a lot of time in the prep work.
No, it was 4 hours, and it was in the afternoon and the evening. It was three to five, and 6 to 8 for many years. 3 to 5.
Yeah,
and
well, then I did the morning, so I only joined the 6 to 8.
Yeah.
But people, you know, the average pastor, I want to throw this out to people, the average pastor will spend 6 to 10 hours to do a 22-minute sermon on Sunday. Your format that you set up, there's a Bible study every night, plus we use scripture all the way through on a lot of the different stories and always referring to things, plus the political. There's an awful lot of time you and I put into things like this, hours that unpaid hours away from family, hours away from our farm or properties. So there's a lot of sacrifice there. Really has been.
Yeah, we're coming up to a break, folks. That number is 216-901-0933. A break is a great time to call. 216-901-0933. We've never compromised. Help us out. We need your help tonight. Be back right after this.